Mickey and the Duke. Now my old friend, the bachelor, well, he swore he was the Oklahoma kid. And Cookie played hooky to go and see the Duke. And me, I always loved Willie Mae. Those were the days.
And welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. And in case you didn't guess by our intro music, we're talking baseball this evening. Hey, it's the first day of the major league season. We're going to be talking a lot about minor league ball because we're talking about the Iron Pigs. And this evening, you get not one host, not even two co-hosts, but three co-hosts. So Rosalie Viscomi, number one Iron Pigs fan, is one of our co-hosts. Yet only one problem with Rosalie, she's still trying to figure out the difference between Ferris and Fifi. And then the second co-host, he's having a little bit of trouble, too, figuring out the difference between the Mets and the Jets. He's confusing Pete Rose and Pete Seeger, Andre Dawson and Andre the Giant, Al Kaline and Al Capone. What can I tell you? We run a tight ship here. I'm John Pierce. Steve, turn it right over to you. This is Steve Aronson.
Thank you, John. I was worried about filling an hour, but I think we're going to do quite well. And the final person, but not the last but not least person I'd like to welcome to the studio is Iron Pigs media relations manager. Did I get that right? Mike Ventola. This is his first year on that job, and we're going to be talking with Mike and John and Rosalie all about the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. We're going to look back at last season, and we're going to talk about what's coming up for 2019. It's going to be a new and exciting season, I think, for the Iron Pigs. And by the way, this is year 12 for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Does it seem like that?
12 years already.
12 wow. years. We know in 2018 the Iron Pigs did very well. They finished with a .600 winning percentage. They won the North Division of the International League. Unfortunately, they did not succeed in the playoffs, but we can talk about that. We're going to be talking about that as well. And looking ahead to 2019. And we're going to talk about some aspects of the organization that listeners may not be familiar with, including Iron Big Pigs Charities. So a lot on the table. And let's start with looking back to 2018. The team had its best winning percentage ever, finishing with 84 wins and 56 losses at .600 winning percentage, a division championship, and a playoff berth, again, was not to be. So I'm going to start by asking our guests and our main guest, Mr. Ventola, about 2018 and whether there were any particular highlights that I'd like to share with us about 2018. And particularly, Mike, why don't we start with you? But from your perspective in Reading as the media relations person down there before you moved up here, what did you see with the Iron Pigs in 2018?
Saw a team that could, without question, pitch. From time to time, also saw a team that could hit the ball as well. Obviously, with what Dylan Cousins was able to do in regards to showcasing his power. Joey Meneses, though, what a treat he was last year, hitting over 300 with 23 homers and over 80 runs batted in. Obviously, Joey being the MVP of the league and deservedly so. But Cole Irvin, obviously, anchoring that rotation was huge. Getting 14 wins and, you know, being International League Pitcher of the Year. And, I mean, look, that Iron Pigs team was arguably one of the best, if not one of the best, you know, teams in the International League and in all of minor league baseball. But sadly ran into those pesky Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. It seems like, you know, the Iron Pigs have had issues against the Rail Riders in the playoffs over recent years. So hoping that'll change in 2019 if the Iron Pigs can get back to the playoffs.
Well, we'll talk about their prospects, certainly about that. How often did you get to Coca-Cola Park last year?
You know, it's funny. I got there once, and it was the night when the Iron Pigs, sadly, were defeated or knocked out of the playoffs by Scranton Wilkes-Barre because of Redding's long season. And I traveled with Redding, being also the team's radio announcer, so I didn't really get a chance to get away from First Energy Stadium unless I was getting on a bus and traveling with the Redding Fightin' Phils. So Only one game. I'd wait until the RFILs were, done in the regular season. We didn't make the playoffs last year, so it was then when I got a chance to get up to Coca-Cola Park, but sadly suffered a loss, and it was a sin, too, because the Pigs took a lead in that game.
Yeah, they were ahead in the ninth inning, 2-1.
And then, bring up some bad pass there, Steve. My bad.
Mike, you're going to be one of the voices, radio voices, yep, of the Iron Pigs this year.
Yes, I will. I'll be a part of the broadcast team. Very excited to have Pat McCarthy, who you guys got a chance to know last year. And Pat's a young and up-and-comer. He's phenomenal, not only with baseball broadcasting in his DNA, but his passion for Iron Pigs baseball as well. So it's really going to be a fun time, here
in
2019.
It's going to be fun for you guys.
It really will be.
Great.
John, you attended a few games last year. What did you see when you got to Coca-Cola Park?
Coca-Cola Park, well, it's a whole, you could almost say it's a carnival. I mean, in between the innings, they're shooting these different objects up, mm-hmm, into the crowd, and the children go wild over that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my brother, hi, Tom. May be listening this evening. I hope so. Down
are
in Virginia.
Are we allowed to do that on the radio anymore?
he would say, I want to see a baseball game. I don't want to see all this playing around with it. Rosie, for whom do you root when those characters come through the left field fence and they're doing the race?
Hambone.
You're a Hambone gal.
Hambone.
I mean, that's fun. Okay. And how many of the fans who go out there really want to see that kind of thing, the fireworks afterwards, all those things that are non-baseball?
A lot of people do, and that's, yeah, to be honest with you, they are more of our fans than the fans that actually come in and actually want to watch what's going on in the field. So it is our job to make sure that we are entertaining those fans to the fullest of our capability, making sure that they are enjoying themselves, not only just what's going on the field, but also too off the field, around the concourse, in our majestic clubhouse, in case fans want to go and purchase some merchandise, out in the kids zone. So that's why, as much as we do care about what's going on the field, we hope we always get a good roster, but that's obviously in Philadelphia's hands. But we also have to take care of what we can control, and that is the customer service experience and making sure fans can come in and have a good time. And Rosalie, obviously, you've been with us since day one, so you know all about it.
I definitely have, and I can tell you that I watch the game, and that's why I'm there, to watch the game. I do enjoy the giveaways, the bobbleheads, mm-hmm, that's kind of fun, but I'm actually there really intently studying, watching the game. Out of the 70 games per season, usually get to about 60, so I watch the players, I watch everything that's going on, and I am sometimes get annoyed with people, just there chatting and eating and doing whatever, not watching the game. I said, we're here to watch the game. So
Rosalie and Steve, we were talking about pitching a couple of minutes ago. What do you think about this? I think it's the 20-second clock, isn't it, for the pitchers?
Yes.
Is that only minor leagues at this point?
It's at the AAA and AA levels. Spring training this year, Major League Baseball did have a trial period through it, and it's something right now that's being discussed within Major League Baseball and the upcoming collective bargaining agreement. So a lot of new things in the age of baseball.
Right.
So, three batter minimum has been discussed for pitchers,
right,
in an inning, right, before getting a chance for them getting pulled out of a game. So it's, that's why part of our job here in the minor leagues is to, obviously we're kind of like guinea pigs at times, because we have to be the folks to try out, go through everything. But also, too, that's why we develop other areas to make sure we entertain our fans each night.
562,000 some odd fans got to Coca-Cola Park last year. You've already touched on this briefly, but I want to ask all three of you, starting with Mike, why is they so consistently at the top level of attendance in the International League?
Well, it starts at the top. Kurt Landis, who's been the president and general manager since day one, he's done an outstanding job in making sure he's had the right people in place to help push out the Iron Pigs message each and every day. And it's part of like what I've said earlier, making sure fans coming in and getting a chance to enjoy the game, enjoy all the fun stuff that goes around it, you know, making sure food is good, all things of that nature. So it's a, it really is, and making sure there are each year new creative and new innovative ideas being implemented. And that's why I think the Iron Pigs have been so successful. So myself, being from Easton most of my life, you know, I remember when the Iron Pigs first came in back in 2008, it took on by storm. It was electric. And this area has a passion for baseball, more so than most areas than I've ever been acclimated with. And I've, you know, been out, I've worked in the Midwest, I've been down south before. So, you know, I think, you know, the people that have been here for so many years running this organization and working in this organization, they understand what the fans here in the Lehigh Valley care about when they walk through those gates at Coca-Cola Park.
Hold that thought about the food. I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later. Rosalie, anything in particular in 2018 that stood out for you?
Well, I had was able to attend my first Education Day game because our school brought the students to that game. And we happened to be there the day that Dylan Cousins hit three home runs. Mm-hmm. And that was quite impressive. It was just, it was so exciting.
Let's talk about that a minute, because in the major leagues, they don't have morning games, do they?
No.
But so what are we doing with the, with, what's the, what are the educational type games?
The Education Day, I believe Iron Pigs have two per season, and they, students from around the area are able to attend a game. And it's not only just attending the game, but they all, the Iron Pigs also have educational materials available, talking about related to math and so on with all that's involved. It's just not going out to watch a baseball game.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. So it was very exciting. That was exciting. And also, of course, winning the North Division Championship and the champagne celebration was wonderful. And Dean Anna, who we grew to love with the team last year, joined us as we were out there celebrating and popping the bottles of champagne and squirting them at everybody. It was a lot of fun.
And those Education Day games begin at 10 a.m., don't they?
10:30, yes.
John, I'm sorry,
Mike. From an announcer's standpoint, would you like to announce games at 10:30 rather than at 7 p.m.?
No, I prefer calling a game at night. You know, sometimes having to get up and go through the process of having to get yourself ready. But you know what? It's like anything else. You have to. You know, there's no excuse. So you got to get yourself up. You know, when it's time to get on the air, it's showtime. Whether it's 10:35 in the morning or whether it's 7:05 at night or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or what we used to have in Reading, we had one game a year. We had a morning game where we would have first pitch at 9:35 in the morning. Uh-huh. So I would be at the ballpark as of 6 a.m. So I'd be getting up early and making sure I was there. So
so you arrive at the ballpark about 3 hours ahead of the first pitch.
That was for that specific day. You know, for me being in a full-time role, you know, I'm at the ballpark for a 7:05 game, 8:30, you know, 8:30 in the morning. So I'm working 12, 15-hour days, depending on how long the game goes. So it's why I'm still single here. You know what I mean? It's hard to get married when you have a lifestyle like I have. So
I remember our ticket rep saying the night before the Education game, saying how they were going to be cooking all these hot dogs, and they're at the ballpark. I don't know what ungodly hour of the morning to get ready for that game. So.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah, right?
Correct.
John and I were at that that particular Education Day game as well, but in different parts of the ballpark. We were in our season seats, and
yeah,
I was down with the kids.
I was down with all the fourth and fifth grade students. So
God bless you.
Quite a different atmosphere from my usual spot at the ballpark, and you know,
it's all fun.
It is
all fun at the old ballpark. That's what the Chicago Cubs and White Sox announcer Jack Brickhouse used to say in the 1950s and 60s. Can't beat fun at the old ballpark.
Before we take a break, why don't we start moving on to 2019 and have things may end up being better in 2019. After the successful season, Gary Jones was retained as the team's manager, but the coaching staff was replaced. Mike, can you shed any light on that?
Well, I think what's happening is, you know, first and foremost, you know, having I got a chance to meet Gary during spring training last week, and I can see why, you know, he's been so successful, not only as a manager here in the minor league level, but as a coach up in the major league level. Players, they like playing for him, and he understands the temperament it goes into dealing with players that, at the AAA level, because you're not just dealing with up-and-comers. You're dealing with guys who have been up in the big leagues, so you have to deal with all those different personalities. And Gary is as cool of a cat as I've seen when it comes to coaching a team. Now, with that as well, a lot of new assistants. You know, no longer do you see Dave Lundquist. Well, Dave Lundquist, he's now the assistant pitching coach in Philadelphia. Great news for him. Obviously, some other former coaches. Wes Helms now is coaching in a different organization. Just slipped my mind. I think he's out in Milwaukee, I believe. Not 100% sure, but I know he's in a different organization. Sadly, Sal Rendy, amongst a few other hitting coaches in the system, were not retained. Were let go. So that brings on Dal Robinson, who had been with the Houston Astros organization as the new hitting coach, and two good friends of mine, Greg Legg, who was my former manager in Reading the past 2 years, and Steve Schrenk, my former pitching coach in Reading, who I worked with the past 3 years. Fans will love him, love these guys. Greg Legg, who was a longtime Philly, played back in the 80s, was part of a really good Reading Phillies team back in 1983. And then he got a chance to be a prominent player with the Scranton Red Barons for a number of years. Actually, has his number retired. You actually can go see his number being retired up at up in Scranton, you know, when you want to go see those pesky Rail Riders this season. So, but Steve Schrenk, too, who pitched in the Phillies for a couple of years, came up through the minor league system with the White Sox years ago. Steve, to me, is so good at molding these young pitchers. He's, you know, when you look at two of the best, I look at Dave Lundquist and I look at Steve Schrenk, and I've worked with Lundy my first 2 years in Reading. Steve will be a big league pitching coach down the line. For Greg Legg, I know he'd love to get up to the big league coaching staff, as well as Daryl. And even, of course, Gary would love to get all back up there. But they know their roles. They know they have to be here and take on a team that's going to be pretty exciting, Steve, here in 2019.
Great. We're excited about that. And we have some more questions, but I think now is a good time to take a break. Steve Aronson here in the studio with the media relations manager for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Mike Ventola, along with John Pearson, Rosalie Viscomi. And we're going to be back right after this message.
Oink on.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Many of our listeners surely have seen the iconic movie Field of Dreams. Here is a quotation from that. The one constant through all the years has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. A beautiful quote.
It's a great quote.
I cry every time I see that movie, so yes. You got me going, John.
Hey, I'm turning you into a Midwesterner. That was in an Iowa cornfield, wasn't it?
It was. Yes. Like I said, I lived down in the Midwest for a couple of years, so very much.
Where did you live?
I was out in southern Illinois, near Carbondale, two hours east of St. Louis.
Nice. Well, you were close enough to Chicago to be a good buddy of mine.
Absolutely. You know, hey, Wrigley Field, good spot.
Yeah, for sure.
We're heading there this summer, first time. Anyway, there was lots of action off the field as well with your arrival, Mike, and Pat McCarthy assuming the role of the lead broadcaster for the Iron Pigs, and maybe some new technology. What can you tell us about either these changes or maybe a broader new approach that the Iron Pigs are taking in 2019?
Well, you know, it's obviously a new age of, you know, with everything being on phones and computers and iPads and iPods and all that good stuff. And, you know, it's we're excited for some really big things that are going to be happening around Coca-Cola Park this year. We're hoping to be a lot more interactive, a lot more digital media oriented, which will be an adjustment for some fans coming through the gates this season. But we also know that once fans get the opportunity of getting used to things, they're going to love it, because it just goes back to what I said earlier. I think with sometimes you keep going to the same thing after a while, it gets stale. So we're trying to avoid, obviously, going down the road of being stale. So there will be some newer technology, newer things of that nature. I have to kind of give you a broad answer. We're going to be making some announcements, hopefully, within the next couple of days about some of the things we're going to be doing here at Coca-Cola Park starting this year. But I am excited to talk about Pat McCarthy, because not only is he a good friend of mine, but he's also, to me, a guy that is going to be in the big leagues one day as an announcer. He learned so much from my mentor, Matt Provence, last year. I've known Matt a long time, and, you know, Pat has grown so much. And, you know, when Matt had left, things changed a little bit in regards to the position. So with me having been in Reading, and with me admitting to you guys, being an Easton guy, gave me a chance to come home. But also, too, I'm a big believer in keeping things, you know, like in having familiar face, especially if things are going well. And that's why, you know, keeping Pat along was, to me, such a smart decision. So at least that'll be some continuity for Iron Pigs fans when, you know, they're traveling around. They can listen to him, and he calls a great game. And he's a lot like the old man, Tom, of course, who got to call a whopper of a game today down in Philadelphia. I think they won by a score of 10-4, knocking off the Braves today. So
is he still doing his announcing with Larry Anderson?
Tom does the television with
John Kruk.
John Kruk and Ben Davis, and Larry Anderson's just strictly on the radio now.
Okay.
And Tom and Pat are both alums of my alma mater, College of New Jersey, ergo Trenton State College.
TCNJ.
And you'll be joining.
I'll be joining
Pat in the booth for the home games.
Absolutely, and I'll join him on a couple of trips. I got to go see those pesky Rail Riders. So, and then maybe go up to Syracuse.
I can do without them quite nicely.
I know you can. Or go up to Syracuse, go up to Rochester, try to go some of the closer trips. And, you know, because I've done radio for a long time, and I still have a passion for it. And I'm also, too, going to be part of the Service Electric broadcast team. I'll be taking Matt's spot on the pregame show for every Iron Pigs home game. So for fans who do have Service Electric, they can see me alongside Doug Heater for the pre-show.
Right. Mike, I hope I'm not going to have an electronic device to enjoy the game this season, based on, you're saying, new technology. Is that going to impart that I have to have something with me to watch the game?
No, I think you'll still be able to sit in your seat and very much enjoy what's going on in front of you. But some other things you may need an electronic device for.
Okay.
Mike, may have heard of the player Ben Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist. No. I see. You know what? You're a Cub guy through and through.
Is he a Cubby?
He's a true Cubby.
Well, listen to this quote, and okay. I'd like to get all three of your opinions on it. Many rule changes proposed, and you talked about a couple of them before, about pitchers and pitching to three batters minimum and the 20-second clock and so on. Many rule changes proposed are focused on speeding up the game. And it's really not the way our game was created. Our game was created for the tactical side, not the speed side of the game. Now, Ben Zobrist is a thinker.
He is a thinker.
He's thinking about the traditions of baseball.
You know, I sit around here and looking at you three, and I think the three of you are the perfect embodiment of what baseball is all about. You have a passion for it. You've been watching the game for how many years? You know, I think what baseball is still trying to figure out is, and Steve, you may help me answer this, is that the speed of the game has gone down. And what's, to me, what I think things need to continue to get examined are the television side of things. And I think, you know, when you take a look at what's going on with TV and has it become a zillion-dollar industry with these television contracts? And it's great, you know, to me. I enjoy watching a game on a television, love listening to a game on a radio. But to me, baseball's trying so hard, and I applaud them their efforts in trying to attract new fans. You know how you're going to keep the young people entertained? Someone very close to me made a great suggestion. Why not get these players in a room for 20 to 30 minutes, get them on social media talking about the game, talking about their interests, whatever. Kids are so zeroed in on their phones. Young people that don't appreciate baseball, the reason why is they just want to feel there's a way for them to get connected to the game. You three are connected to the game because you guys understand the simplicities of it. And that's where today, nowadays, everything's become much more compounded in a way where, you know, if there's no interaction, it's almost like they don't want nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? Years ago, you guys used to get up, get an autograph. Now, today, kids aren't interested. They're so on their phones. So to me, throw a Rhys Hoskins and a Bryce Harper in a room and have them on the, you know, talking about this and that and that. That's how you're going to get these fans out. By speeding up the game in trying those efforts, I don't know if that's the right way, because a lot of passionate fans like you three getting a chance to know you guys, I know it could be a little bit of a difficult thing to accept. So I think that's just my idea.
I think the older we are, too, the less we want to see changes. It's probably human nature, whether it's baseball or other things. So a lot of the older fans remember the old times. I very well remember in my youth when a baseball player, if I heard his name on the radio, I knew the team for which he was playing.
Exactly.
I can't do that anymore.
Exactly. 16 teams, 400 players. And why didn't I know my history as well as I knew all the players, my father would tell me.
Right.
Good one.
But 400 players were a lot easier to remember than, what is it now?
Well, they get traded all the time. Yeah. So you don't know which team they're playing for a lot of times.
That's another good point.
And that's why a lot of people, you know, a lot of Philly fans were upset about Mike Trout. But to me, you know, because he signed that humongous deal with Los Angeles, and to me, I kind of, yeah, it would have been great to have him back here, back home, but it's a loyalty factor. He did something that it's rare nowadays in sports, having to play for one team.
That's right.
Loyalty is not as strong as it used to be, but obviously the mighty dollar reigns supreme, and that's what we have to do what we got to do.
I'm a newcomer to baseball. My interest happened 12 years ago or 12 seasons ago when the Iron Pigs came to the Valley, and I enjoy going to the game, watching the game. To me, it's relaxing. I don't need to hurry up to go anywhere. I don't want the game to end, and I don't care how long. And Steve will say, if it goes into extra innings, we're leaving, right? I said, no, we're not. We're staying here. I want to see, because they might win or they might lose.
She's the driver.
You know, that's I just don't see what the hurry up is. But I understand, working with young students, the idea, everything is on some kind of a pad or whatever they're looking at, a visual, and it's like hurry, push the button, this, and they don't have the patience to just sit maybe and to watch.
And you're a teacher at elementary school.
Exactly.
You're dealing with children how old?
Third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Right, and they're like that. That's this generation.
That's all they know is the screen of some sort, big, little, whatever. It's got to be a screen. Otherwise, that's it. And talking about getting in the room with some of the players, I'm hoping that we will have a couple of the Iron Pigs coming to our school. We've been in the process of getting them to come and talk to the students.
Working with Madison.
Prior.
Oh, she's the best.
Prior
You're
to.
Good hands.
Their state testing that happens later this school year. So we're hoping that, and we're very excited. And of course, our secretary is extremely excited that we'll get the Iron Pigs. So she's given me that task. Rosalie, you've got to get the Iron Pigs here to the school. I'm like, Steve, you've got to get the Iron Pigs here to my school. So we're working on that.
And the Piggies have done a really good job through the years of reaching out to the community and being involved in the community.
Yeah. And that's part of why Steve asked earlier, why are the Iron Pigs so successful with attendance? Look, and not that I have to explain it to you three, and not to get super serious with life here, but to me this bodes well for it. It's all about relationships and relationship building, whether that's in business, whether that's in family, whether it's in friendships, life. You build positive relationships, people will respond to that. And that's where I think, you know, for what the Iron Pigs and a lot of these minor league teams are realizing, the ones that are successful and continuously bring in, you know, fans and make profit, they understand the importance of relationship building. Guest service, customer service, things of that nature. Those are big words at Coca-Cola Park that we try to preach each and every day, and making sure that our fans come in and feel like $1 million, and they feel like multi-$1 million when they leave, knowing that they were that satisfied with the experience they had. So that's where, too, kids, as they're getting older, that's one thing that they've got to continue to realize, and that's why we're hoping with the game, and that's why I said earlier, young people, I don't think, feel that that strong relationship with a lot of the players nowadays as they did years ago.
Well, we're going to be reminiscing for a few minutes now before John has to leave in a little while, but I want to play this song all about what's about to happen, what's happened today in Major League Baseball, and what's going to happen 1 week from today with the Iron Pigs. So please listen to this.
But I counted days in a winter haze since the leaves began to fall. Now it won't be long till the sun comes shining through. When the camps start breaking, my spirit's awaken to an irresistible call of an old American song that's always new. And the robin is here, the sky is so blue. There's a band, there's music, and the flags are flying too. The grass is so green, it's like never before. It's opening day, I can be a kid once more.
Well, Mike, you and I are here on a very special day because young Rosalie and young Steve are about to celebrate wedding anniversary number 30.
Congratulations.
And I asked Steve, well, how are you going to celebrate this? He said, we're going to have Mike Ventola here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. That's our celebration.
I was about to say, man, I'm honored. Congratulations, guys. That's beautiful.
Actually, we're going to be at Coca-Cola Park on our 30th wedding anniversary watching a baseball game.
Of course you are. Where else?
Well, Terry Cashman said opening day is like being a kid once more. What does opening day mean to each of you?
Opening day for me, the strange thing that happened, I'm a Cubs fan, so it happened that 1 year the Phillies were hosting the Cubs down in Philadelphia. There was nobody I knew who wanted to go, so I just went by myself. Opening day, sold out, no way for me to get it. I didn't get a ticket ahead of time. Fool that I was, drove way down to Philadelphia, thwarted, drove back, and that was not a good start to the season for me. Now, the next day and the day after that, I could have had any seat in Veterans Stadium, but not that day. I chose the wrong day.
So you were stuck listening.
I listened to the game.
You listened
on the radio.
To the game on the radio. So right. Some, you know, whether so locally, obviously Harry Callis at the time.
Right, exactly.
Harry Callis. So, opening day for me, guys, is it's like Christmas. You know what? It really is, just because I grew up in a family that passionate about baseball. I was never good enough to play. That's why I'm doing this announcing and media relations side of things. I figure it was just a way for me to, you know, stay active within the game.
You found your niche.
I was, but you know, I thank my parents for being very good. And my brother had all the talent. My older brother Anthony was really good. But anyways, opening day to me, like today, the buzz. There's a certain buzz to it, where it's a brand new start. You know, you look at the Phillies, who have had some tough seasons with all the additions they had in the offseason. Big expectations. Robinson Cano goes opposite field for the New York Mets today. The Mets end up getting a win. The Yankees win. You know what I mean? You look at all, you know, local teams and teams across the land. It's a new birth. It's a new season. It's a new opportunity. And that's why I enjoy it so much. And there's nothing like, and Vin Scully say, nothing like the roar of the crowd.
Yes.
And that's what drives me. And you hear that. You don't hear a better roar of the crowd than you do on opening day.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe if your team wins the championship.
And today, since this is opening day for Major League, by the way, Steve, how did you happen to manage that our Lehigh Valley Discourse on baseball is the very opening day of the Major League season?
I have to tell you that in no way could I ever imagine that baseball was going to begin on March 28th. and anyway, John, this is traditionally your week on Lehigh Valley Discourse, the fourth week. And I had to get permission from you first.
That's right. That's right. So, but today, Mike, just what you're saying about the excitement of opening day. I was at Muhlenberg College in a parking lot. There were two fellows there, presumably students, shouting across the lot to each other. And they knew which team and which player they were talking about. And I didn't hear the name of the player. One of them says, he's going to go 0 for 4 today. And the other one shouted across, he's going to go 5 for 4 and hit 6 home runs.
Must be talking about Bryce Harper. One had one viewpoint and the other had the other one.
Right. Probably.
Rosalie, opening day.
Opening day, well, that will be next Thursday for me, for my Iron Pigs. I know today opening day for Major Leagues, which was still very exciting. I was walking around school smiling, very excited. And a little excerpt from a quote here from Bart Giamatti, who was Commissioner of Baseball. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And that's exactly what it does. All afternoon and evening, and even in at home, going to bed with a baseball game on. I don't care what teams are playing. That's a great way to end the day, listening to a baseball game.
Put you to sleep, huh?
No, I usually stay awake.
But do you start the day listening to Morning Edition on WDIY?
I definitely do. It's the only radio station that I have all of my radios tuned to, WDIY.
Except when we listen to now Fox Sports Radio and listen to the Iron Pigs when we're not at the game or when they're on the road.
Right.
Other than that, those are the only two radio stations we listen to. For me, opening day, well, I grew up in New York. Everybody in my house was a Yankee fan, and I was not. I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand it.
The rebel.
So I grew up first with the New York Giants, then they moved to San Francisco, and then the Mets came. And there was a lot of disappointment in my heart for those baseball seasons, for those many baseball seasons. So opening day for me was, well, this is next year. I always say, wait till next year. Well, this is next year. And unfortunately, for most of the time, it was a repeat of the previous year. For the Iron Pigs, they had a great year last year. They had a pretty good year the year before. They were in the playoffs as well. They need to get over that final hump to at least win the first round of the playoffs. They just have to do that. In 2011, when Ryne Sandberg was the manager, they came so close. They won the first round of the playoffs. They went to the finals. They won the first game in Columbus. They were winning the second game. 1-0 going to the late innings, and they lost that game, and then finally they didn't do it in the championship. So there's tradition out there, and this is going to be a great year. And we're going to be talking about more about 2019 right after this message.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back, everyone. Steve Aronson here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm here in the studio right now with Iron Pigs, Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Media Relations Manager Mike Ventola and a number one Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi. And we're beginning to talk here about the 2019 season. It's been a crazy winter, Mike and Rosalie, and sometimes when we get to opening day at Coca-Cola Park, it's essentially still winter. But we were there for Pig Day, and it looked, there wasn't any snow out there that time. Or was there, Rosalie? Remind me. So it looks pretty good for the season. Maybe a little cool next week, but we're here. Opening day is just about upon us for Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. And this is a good time, Mike, I think, to talk about your journey, the journey that brought you to the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and the roles you're going to have as a Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs media relations manager.
Well, it's funny. You were talking about the 2011 season. I was the studio host that season. So I was the guy in studio pushing the buttons.
That's right.
So,
did they call you Mikey the V?
They called me Mikey the V because after a good friend of ours, Tommy V, Tommy the V Viola, who was the first ever studio host. Tommy, now the vice president of communications down for the Charlotte Knights, good friend still to this day. He's been a big plus in helping me in my career. But how my journey got me to Allentown was actually quite remarkable how it turned out, but I was with the Reading Fight and Phils the past 5 years. They hired me back in 2014 as their radio announcer, and then after the 2016 season, they brought me on full-time as their public relations director and also their lead voice for every radio telecast. So obviously after this past season, after Matt Province had moved on, obviously there was an opening, and to be honest with you, it took me a while to throw my name in a hat. Had to, you know, take care of some things on my end. And then one thing led to the next. You go through the conversations. You talk to the people that you need to talk to. And my first day with the Iron Pigs was February 4th, the first day as media relations manager. But, you know, I've had a fun career so far. You know, I've been working in minor league baseball since 2009 as an intern. Was in the Augusta, Georgia for a season. I was a game day worker in Reading in 2010, Pigs with you guys in 2011, and then I was in Illinois in 2012 and 2013 as a PR director and a radio announcer for a team in the Independent Frontier League. And it was a very beneficial experience for me. Gave me a chance to experience a new part of the country I never thought I'd get a chance to see. So, but it's great being back home. You know, I graduated from Easton High School back in 2006.
Red Rover.
Go Red Rovers. Sorry, Rosalie. Sorry about that. And but I'm an Immaculata University graduate back in 2010. So, you know, it's been a great journey, Steve. And I'm just happy to be back here in Lehigh Valley, back here at home. And, you know, I know how much you two and every Iron Pigs fans, you love your Iron Pigs. And that's why it was such an easy decision for me to, you know, put my name in the hat. And glad to be here with you guys.
Well, you're an experienced person, to be sure, but this is a new job for you, and so how are you getting about preparing for the many roles you'll have? You can talk about some of the roles and the fact that you're going to be with a new broadcast partner this year.
You know, it's funny. You know, Pat was with me in Reading back in 2017. He was in the midst of being a student at TCNJ. He had graduated, and he came on with me and my other assistant, Greg, who I had actually hired before Pat, because Pat had sent me an email after I'd hired Greg, and I was like, yeah, we'll make room for you, Pat. So so Pat was with me in 2017, and so, you know, and I touched on that, but some of the other roles, guys, you know, being a media relations manager is obviously making sure news that has to come from the Iron Pigs is distributed, you know, in really a perfect manner, you know, writing press releases, making sure local media entities are aware of what's going on with the Iron Pigs. I'll be assisting the marketing team, you know, throughout the season, you know, whether it's coming up with the new ideas for promotions, you know, attending meetings and making sure that, you know, we're developing the news creative and innovative ways that you, the fans, can have a beneficial experience coming through the gates at Coca-Cola Park. So, and then also, too, I'll be very hands-on with the team. As Steve, as you said, I will be on the radio broadcast for home games. I will make a couple of trips, local trips, with Pat. And then, you know, just making sure, you know, the players get introduced formally and, you know, making sure that they, you know, fulfill media requests and, really, you know, dealing a lot with the ball players.
You mentioned promotions. I went through the list. There were 70 home games, and well over 60 have something associated, whether it's fireworks or theme nights or giveaways or just a litany of things. In fact, one of the theme nights, there are three Hispanic Heritage Nights, and there's a special thing going on with that. Before we talk about some of the other things, why don't you tell us about the Coquís?
Oh, the Coquís. Yeah, the Coquís. We're celebrating the those from Puerto Rico. Yeah, those from Puerto Rico are a really big part of the Lehigh Valley. And we're excited because, you know, we just feel like it's going to be a great opportunity for not only just fans from that live here in the Lehigh Valley or surrounding areas that are from Puerto Rico, but we just feel like, especially minor league baseball is taking a strong initiative with, you know, going into the Hispanic heritage. We feel like it's a great avenue for us to help celebrate Hispanic heritage. We're doing it three games at home. We're actually taking our jerseys for one game on the road, I think, up in Pawtucket. So we're excited to even spread the Coquís message even further away. So this is a message we feel very strongly that we're hoping that we can continue to work with moving forward. So, you know, for me, getting a chance to I kind of came in late in the game in regards to the ideas, everything being formulated, but, you know, getting a chance to hear the reaction from everybody, fans have taken to it extremely well. Merchandise sales have been good. You know, we're excited about it. So the Coquí, it's the noise the frog makes, you know, so it's a Coquí, you know, kind of, you know, it's like that ribbit, you know, it's like that Coquí noise. And it's very important to the folks from Puerto Rico. So, like I said, we're pumped about it and pumped about a lot of days, Steve. You know, there's really going to be some exciting days, especially some specialty jersey days and all that good stuff.
That has to do with the Olympic charities, and I do want to get to that. But you have several theme nights related to TV programs.
Yes.
And then also talk about some of the giveaways, including the bobbleheads.
Ooh, geez, where do we begin? So there will be a Roman Quinn bobblehead that we'll be giving out later this year. Of course, Roman Quinn, who was, pretty good iron pig. You know, it's just a sin that he's been battling the injury bug. We've had, you know, multiple theme nights. We're having Mr. Rogers night on April the 9th. We're also going to have Major League Night with Pedro Beato Jobu bobblehead. So for those of you out there who have seen the movie Major League and, you know, Pedro Serrano, who had Jobu. So we're, you know, we took Pedro Beato, we made him Jobu, so which we're pretty excited about.
Is he going to end up with the team?
We are hoping that he could end up with us. You know, we haven't gotten official word yet, but obviously Beato did re-sign with the organization, so we would expect him to be with us. So hopefully we can get that announcement within the next day or two. Stanley Hudson from The Office, if for those of you out there who have watched the show, The Office, that is obviously going to be a pretty exciting day. We're doing a Cole Irvin Game of Thrones bobblehead. Game of Thrones is a big TV show. So, you know, we're excited about that. And then also, too, you know, the Philly Fanatic will be making some appearances up here. The Soup Nazi from Seinfeld. Seinfeld, a very funny show. And, you know, obviously we're going to have a Nickelodeon Day. And we're doing a big salute to Philadelphia. We're excited about that. And of course, too, Harry Potter, Christmas in July. We're trying to make Adam Sandler great again. So really, there's a lot of fun and exciting evenings. Of course, the multiple fireworks nights as well, too. Can't beat that.
Let's get back.
And this is, like, I think, one of the first seasons that it's Coca-Cola Park has a home game on 4th of July.
Yes. So we had they had the fourth on the field for, I think, 4 or 5 consecutive years. Mm-hmm. Rosalie, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. So that's why we're doing the Great American Bash on July 3rd. So it's going to be run very similarly to fourth on the field. So for new folks out there that have attended fourth on the field, well, guess what? You come into Great American Bash on the blast on July 3rd.
Okay, let's talk about on the field action. 1 week from tonight is opening night. They open against the Rochester Red Wings, 4 games. And then 3 games after that with those pesky Rail Riders.
I think that phrase is going to get embodied, you know.
7 games against key Eastern Division, North Division rivals. What do you see? Well, what does it look like for the season for the Iron Pigs?
You know, look, I still believe in baseball it comes down to pitching, defense, and timely hitting. And I do think the Iron Pigs are going to have that ability to do very well with all three, and especially their pitching. I am excited about this rotation, you know, rotation that could feature the likes of an Enyel, De Los Santos, Drew Anderson, Cole Irvin, Ranger Suarez, just to name a few guys. This bullpen, which is going to have some guys that should be up in the major leagues, but because of the numbers game, have to come down to Lehigh Valley. And then, you know, you look at the lineup, expecting Dylan Cousins to be with us. Hopefully Bethlehem's own Matt McBride will be back, you know, with the Iron Pigs. So I really think that as long as the Pigs, Steve, can, you know, pitch, and I do think pitching will be their strength, and be able to play good defense, they're going to find a way to win some ball games. They're going to be a scrappy club in a lot of ways. I don't know if they're going to steal a lot of bases this year. Kind of the way the game has changed anyway. Not many ball players are stealing as many bags as they used to anyway. But I look around, you know, some of the other teams, you know, the Yankees and Scranton, they're going to be a tough out again. They're going to be a tough team. You know, Rochester with the Twins. The Twins are an up-and-coming organization. A lot of Major League pundits are picking the Twins to actually compete for the playoffs, which means that could, you know, affect the Rochester roster in a way where you could have some guys that could be very competitive and good. And, of course, now Syracuse being a Mets affiliate. So, you know, with Syracuse coming to town and Tim Tebow coming to town, we'll see how that's going to all factor in.
And since we have listeners in Reading now, what do you see for the Fightin' Phils this year?
I'm going to see a young team, a very exciting team. Sean Williams, young manager. I think they're going to be a ball club that's going to feature, kind of, in a way, the Pigs going to have some pretty good arms, going to have some good pitching. They're going to hit, though. Derek Hall is going to be back at first base. He's going to be, I think, a guy that's going to hit a lot of home runs in a very hitter-friendly ballpark down at First Energy Stadium. Archimedes Gamboa is a up-and-coming prospect at shortstop who, you know, should be getting that call every day at short. I think Austin Bosart's going to get some reps catching. Between him and Edgar Cabral should be a nice little catching duo down there. So, you know, and there's going to be some guys that maybe could have been in Allentown to start the year, but have to start the year in Reading. So I do think for the Phillies minor league system, I think there's going to be some winning this year, you know, and that's music to a lot of fans' ears. And I think that because a lot of what you see, what's going on at the big league club. So, you know, but rosters aren't finalized yet. So hopefully we'll get an idea.
I have some music I want to play before we leave, but the last thing I want to talk about, and anything else that you think I might have missed also, but Iron Pigs Charities. Tell us about Iron Pigs Charities, some of the associated activities with Iron Pigs Charities, and if there's any way people who are interested in either applying for what the charities do or even helping out as a volunteer, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, for the Iron Pigs Charities, which has been a prominent charity program here for a number of years, and Diane, who does a really good job of spearheading the Iron Pigs Charities, we're excited about our Meet the Team dinner, which is the night before opening day.
We'll be there.
I was going to say, you guys will be there. That's a great opportunity for, you know, a lot of the money that comes in that night goes to Iron Pigs Charities, and of course to the 222 Showcase. With fans come out on Tuesday, I know you two will be there as well. So, you know, those are certainly some avenues for Iron Pigs, you know, for you to get involved in Iron Pigs Charities. They have a great grant program as well, too. It's actually my first press release I wrote was about the grant program that, you know, the multiple businesses receive grants from Iron Pigs Charities. So give Diane a call at 610-841-PIGS at 7447. And obviously, you know, she'll be able to keep you informed about what's going on with Iron Pigs Charities. We're going to be doing a lot without in the community this summer. Our ball players are going to look to get involved doing some, you know, community service. The Phillies are very big on that. So who knows? You may see a couple of Iron Pigs at some events throughout the summer.
Do we miss anything?
You know, no. You know, I have to make one note, Rosalie, you make outstanding cookies, so I want to thank you very much. I want to make sure I say it live on the air, and hey, look, what the two of you do, keep it up, because I think it's important that listeners and, you know, the appreciation of local radio. Radio has gotten so streamlined, and it's just nice to see what you two have been able to do, and especially, you know, supporting Iron Pigs on behalf of the organization. Thank you guys so much.
We love the Iron Pigs, and thank you for what you offer to the community. It's wonderful.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike Ventola, Media Relations Manager for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, and a number one Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi, and John Pierce, who had to another engagement he had to head for. So thank you all for being on Lehigh Valley Discourse. We're going to end the program with a tribute to the people like Mike Ventola and Pat McCarthy, who paint such beautiful pictures on the radio during the baseball season.
One last thing. Go Iron Pigs.
Go. That's a Kurt Landis admonition. So we're going to play a little bit of that right now. Here's to those who paint those pictures that keep us glued to the radio.
Play-by-play on the radio. Play-by-play.
Deep to left center. Back for Jean Friedel. Back, 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 back. He makes a one-handed catch against the bullpen. Oh, doctor.
Out on the porch in the summer heat, the sound of a southerner's voice filled the street. Me and the redhead were up in the catbird seat. And out in St. Louis, it was surely the same. Holy cow, what a baseball game. The sacks are loaded and here comes that man again. And it was play-by-play on the radio. Play-by-play on the radio. Play-by-play, I saw it on the radio. The splinter, DiMaggio's glide. The men at the mics made it come alive. Ernie and Mel, and Bob was a prince of a guy. Out of thin air, pictures somehow appeared. You could smell the hot dogs and taste the beer. You felt the excitement as the crowd began to cheer. And it was play-by-play on the radio. Play-by-play on the radio. Play-by-play, I saw it on the radio. Play-by-play, I saw it on the radio.
There's a drive, way back, it might be, it could be, it is! Base hit, right field, the Tigers win it. Here comes K-Line to score, and it's all over.
Dodger swings and there's a long drive, hit deep in the right field, going way back, 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 she moves, and you may kiss it goodbye, over the roof for a home run.
The men at the mic, they make it. Up louder, the pictures are coming in fine. And it's play by play on the radio. Play by play on the radio. Play by play.
Thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Allentown. At 88.1, we are Lehigh Valley Public Radio, offering many choices and real voices. Again, we want to thank Mike Ventola and Rosalie Viscomi and John Pierce for joining us on Lehigh Valley Discourse. Let's take a look at Lehigh Valley weather as we wait for the beginning of NPR News headlines at 7:01, and after that, Celtic Fair with Rick Weaver. It's currently 58 degrees in the Lehigh Valley. There's a slight chance of showers overnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Overnight, a slight chance of showers. We'll make it tomorrow, Friday, a slight chance of showers with a chance of showers, particularly after 2 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 64. Friday night, a chance of showers, mainly in the early part of the overnight, mostly cloudy, 47. Looking at your weekend, Saturday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 70 degrees. And all the way ahead to Sunday, showers are likely, mainly in the early part of the day, mostly cloudy with a high near 54. The time is approaching 7:01. Stay tuned for news headlines and then Celtic Fair. Have a great evening.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Trump's